Onpust took court proceedings against nearly 12,000 people last year for not having a TV licence. Is that surprising to you? Should we all pay our licence, or is it a waste of money? To discuss this now, I'm joined by Barry Finnegan, who is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Journalism and Media Communications at Griffith College, about whether or not the TV licence is fit for purpose, is value for money, and should be paid by all. Barry, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell me this. The TV licence. OK, we threw this out on social media yesterday evening, and the amount of people who said, I don't watch terrestrial television.
Yeah.
I watch Netflix, or I watch digital streaming or whatever it is. Why should I pay? Blah, 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 blah.
OK.
Why should they pay?
They should pay because we want to live in a society where we base our views and opinions on the evidence. And so let's go and look for some evidence. And what we find is that in countries where you have ring-fenced funding for public service broadcasters who are able to use that money to make news and entertainment, etc., what you have is the public are more informed about political issues. Public service ring-fenced funding on public service television means that you get more news, more substantive news, more international news, and the private TV channels who compete with that have a lower profit margin in the production of news, and the quality of what they output is higher.
Okay.
This elevates all broadcasters, including on radio, and it elevates the quality of depth of stories and range of stories and substantive news in the press as well.
I take your point, and I do think that news, because I mean we call it fake news because that's the common parlance of the day, but fake news could also be referred to as propaganda. If your news is fake, then you're vulnerable to being manipulated, and you don't want to be manipulated by power. That's bad for democracy and for people and for citizens. I get that. But if you are, as are many of the people I work with, you're in your 20s or in your 30s and you don't watch terrestrial television at all, the fact that the national state broadcaster is producing good quality news is irrelevant to you because it's not where you get your news. Should we be structuring our licence differently, Barry? Because if all the money, no disrespect to them, goes to RTE and a third of the adult population don't listen to RTE, it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
Should that money be siphoned into other areas, local, regional, digital?
Well, as an alpha in my mid-late 40s now, you know, I'm against this deification of youth. Oh, aren't the young people lovely? Let's do whatever they want.
I agree with you, but forget the fact that they're young. Just take it that there is a large cohort and a growing cohort who will never tune into the national broadcaster,
that's
irrespective
not,
of age.
We can't say that. But what we can say is that they're citizens in a democratic society. And with all the incredible rights that we get, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, the right to be informed when we go to the polls to vote, living in a democratic society where a large portion of the adult population are well informed on news and substantive news issues, means that your society functions. And so if 15-year-old boys and 25-year-old young men and women choose not to be as immersed in news as people in their 40s, absolutely that's their choice. But these young people take public transport. They go to college. They pay VAT on ridiculous things like tampons and toothpaste and toiletries. It's ridiculous. You know, VAT is something we could talk about if you want to talk about inequitable tax. It disproportionately disadvantages younger people who earn less money. And, you know, if I was still a young person, I would certainly not be giving out about the TV license. I'd be giving out about VAT. But anyway, which affects us on absolutely everything we're buying. Just to get to the facts on the stats of what the research demonstrates, when we do cross-country comparisons, we interview 1,260-odd people from a range of different countries. We show them pictures of their own politicians, talk about substance, and ask them a bunch of questions. So, which country scores highest? Denmark and Finland score best. Denmark is €332 a year. So, anyone who loves that Scandinavian Nordic TV shows, that's where it comes from. And what they get for that money is a 0% knowledge gap about politics between the rich and the poor. That's the top 1/5 of earners compared to the bottom 1/5 of earners. In England, it's about 12 to 15% of a knowledge gap. And in the USA, where there's hardly any money at all for public service television, and there's no rules and regulations about what fairness and balance is, the first Bush the Elder got rid of them, there's a 40% knowledge gap.
Yeah.
So what happens is these people are coming home, they're living in a society where the news that they casually come across on the radio and commercial music stations and stuff isn't of the same caliber as we have here in Europe. And we need to take a holistic, large, long-term vision of what we're capable of doing. But as to the almost 12,000 people getting taken to court, I mean, obviously I'm massively in favour of public service television. I think the TV licence is great. I would prefer if we went the German model and just went, look, it's a media charge. We know you're watching the public service TV channel on your computer, so pay the money.
But this is the thing. And you see, you and I are not really at odds. And in fact, we're on much closer ground than a lot of people who are texting and someone says, Orty, you don't even have the access to the rugby this year. I've no reason to do their service at all anymore. And I don't. I pay Sky €105 a month and I'm not opposed to paying for the service once I'm using it, but I don't use it. Someone else says the TV licence is a joke. Judging from the standards of television that Orty you're putting out, got a glimpse of Dancing with the Stars the other night, car crash. Pay £10 a month and get award-winning programmes on Netflix. No brainers, and so on and so forth. But so okay, I'm not coming from the same position as those texters, but I am coming from the same position.
It is profoundly anti-intellectual what's been said here. You know, and it's an emotionally driven argument, and I totally get
it. It may well be, but this is what people think. And, mm-hmm. and bear in mind, just because, you know, not everybody is an intellectual doesn't make them wrong. But here is the thing. I agree with you that the value of a public service news service is vital. Yeah, I agree with you, okay? I agree with you, and I think we're probably the same thing, that there are certain homegrown dramas and documentaries and all that probably aren't commercially viable and would never be made without some kind of a licensing.
Sure.
I agree with you on all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But here's where I think we might differ.
Uh-huh.
I believe that people who are consuming their news and their media differently also deserve to have their news and their media, how they consume it, which isn't going to change. It's only moving inexorably in one direction. That should also be high quality. That's what we really want. We want the end product to be high quality, however you consume it. So putting it all in Montrose is not the way going forward.
It doesn't all go there. It goes to TG Cahir and Radio na Gael Tuachta and the correspondents. Like if you live in Donegal or if you live in Mayo or Galway and something happens, you've got an RTE correspondent there. There's not news coming out of there of every day of the week that makes international headlines. But we're still not
getting to the point though, because I see what you're saying. So First of all, Radio na Gael Tuachta and TG Cahir and Lyric.
And the orchestras.
Nice. Well, we only need the one. But there are still small niche areas. The point I'm saying is this. We need public service, because the whole raison d'etre for it is that the people who are on the users, the end point users of our media, need good quality. They're not using it in the same way they used to. So why aren't we now moving more towards putting some of these media license fees, whatever we want to call them, let's not call them TV as such, into digital platforms and stuff like that people are now using?
You mean a more dynamic online presence from the public service broadcaster?
Yes.
My understanding is that's exactly what they've hired a number of people from a range of backgrounds now. Understanding is that they're in the process of transforming the product that's delivered online, and it's going to be a lot more youth oriented. It's going to be a lot of short video documentaries and stuff like that. I mean, I'll let RTE talk about that in more detail. Absolutely, I think that's essential. Listen, the imagination that's required here is huge. We've got the substantive point of we need this to have a democratic society. Let's involve, you know, we've got the Citizens Assembly. There's 100 people there who are, I think, a fair, reasonable, representative sample of the population at large. Why aren't these people, for example, rolled in for the RTE authority? There's the licence, there's the audience committee for RTE. You know, let's have more publicity about what their input to the TV programming schedule is. I think that would be a fantastic idea.
I do too, because, you know, obviously, and I am slightly biased, I work in commercial radio.
Sure.
And no two ways about it, I do. But when I look at something, and I've said this before on air, like 2FM, which is a music channel, which has ads and has licence fee and is competing against commercial stations, and not just stations under this roof in Marconi House, but around the country.
Sure.
It has a massive unfair advantage, and I see no reason when you can access music channels so readily why the public service is siphoning money into playing pop music when there's absolutely no reason for it. I think we have to challenge the national broadcaster to say, prove your worth in terms of what you're spending that money on. If you're going to put your hand in everyone's pockets and take £160 and, you know, we want certain things from you as a public service broadcaster, then it can't be spent on frivolous.
You better be careful what you wish for, because if RTE actually spend the money genuinely doing research as to what various demographics in the country want, And they have a really dynamic and forceful audience research committee that feeds into transforming programming. You might get the best public service television in the world. Germany is there. Would that be a bad thing? It would be fantastic. It would be fantastic. And public service. I mean, like, look, yeah, just looking at some of the amounts of money we know that in Europe we have the fairest societies with the lowest gap between rich and poor, the best gender protection, the best environmental protection, the best health and safety records at work. You know, and the reason is because we approach life as if we have a dynamic competitive economy that sits inside a democratic society. And so balancing these rights and duties is an important part of it. But Germany has commercial, Germany has public service television. It's got a license fee around the same price as Ireland, and they've got ads too. Okay. You know,
I don't begrudge the ads, and I don't begrudge
exactly 216
because I don't think that we have a population that is big enough to sustain.
You're talking about Manchester. Yeah, no, it doesn't have anything like we've got.
I don't think we do, and I think we do a relatively good job. But I think we do need to challenge and question how the money is spent. And I also think if the value in public service broadcasting is getting the quality product that we're talking about to the end users, then we need to innovate. But let me give you a flavour of what people are saying.
Sure.
Someone says, "Hi, this is Dave from Kilkenny. Why the hell should I pay for a product I don't use?" It's the same for any product, ain't it? There should be something legally in place for this purpose. Someone else says, people in the private media don't get the massive salaries and the time off. It's the same in the public media. We also have no say, or I didn't write this. We also have no say or input into how our money is spent. Someone says, D Forbes is right. It should be collected by revenue. RTE is more than just television, news and radio. It is a non-biased platform for news and weather and information. And I do value those things. Mm. I really, really do. Someone else says, we should pay our license. Only when you live abroad can you see the endless trash with endless ads that's on their television sets. I think that's probably particularly true of America. Someone says, I've no love for RTE, but when Obama and the Queen came, they were the only ones who could cover it. Someone else says, this guy's talking about the license as if it only pays for news. If I get my news from the internet, why should I pay? I have to have a TV license because I have an Xbox and that's all I have. And someone else says, turn on RTE1 first thing this morning at 7 a.m. What did you get? Shopping channels and then a repeat of Maura and Dahi from the night before. Turn over to RTE2, you get kids programmes. Afternoon on RTE is dedicated to middle-aged women's shows. I don't watch those shows. How dare you? Public service, not even close. And that's from Brian. It's a very mixed set of views, you know, a very mixed set of views. And I take somewhat exception to referring to anybody who gets involved in this debate as anti-intellectual, because people are saying we don't feel we're getting value for money and we don't feel that our needs are being met by what we're paying for.
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is let's have this debate in the media and let's compare ourselves to other Western European democratic countries. Let's not be the island that talks to itself by itself. Let's see how it works in other countries. For example, in some of the Scandinavian countries, there's the idea that if you're long term unemployed, you pay $6.99. If it's $5.99 a year in Finland, you know, and so what we could do is we could take this on board. In Germany, it's got a sliding scale as well. So like the fact that there was a large spike around 2013 of people not paying their license fee wasn't because they turned into bad people. It's because they were economically distressed.
Yeah, well, that's very true.
So there's no reason why we can't have. Look, I mean, half the population of Ireland that works earns 28.5 grand or less. OK, the minimum wage ends up at just below 20,000. So, you know, maybe if you're on 20,000 or less, it could be 20 euro. And then how about 0.5% of salary up to 75,000 after that? So someone on the mean salary of 35,600 at 0.5% would pay 175. And someone who earns the 10% of people who earn 75,000 or more would pay 375.
You're definitely
which
talking
would be
about
a
going
more
through revenue
Norwegian.
Though at that point, aren't you? You're definitely talking about going through revenue.
Absolutely.
People
objected to the property tax because it was an inequitable regressive taxation that discouraged property, improving your property and whatever. But the revenue just pops in and takes that money out of their wages very cheaply and simply.
Barry, you stick on your headphones there because one of our listeners is on the line as we speak to tell me what he thinks about all of this. John, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live.
Thank you. I agree with your guest there. I mean, maybe if there was some kind of a percentage there that allowed for people's financial circumstances, maybe it might have some chance. But you see, the difference here with Sky Television and RT, if you don't pay your Sky bill, it will be cut off. But if you don't pay your licence, you can still watch RTE, you know, and if the man comes at the door, and then he has to get access into the house to see there's an actual TV in the house, right? Now, in fairness to RTE, they've done some great public service stuff over the years, like the primetime specials, nursing homes, brilliant stuff. Like the 6-1 News is very good. Nationwide is an excellent programme because it brings the cameras and the reporters around to every nook and cranny here in the country, and it gives a window to communities that would never get a window otherwise. So they do some very good stuff that way. Now, the thing is, like, I mean, dragging people into court, like 12,000 people, wasting court time and all the money that's involved there. There was a lady there about 2 years ago in Cork. She was taken from Cork prison, which there was no room. Don't tell him, like, she went in one door and out the other door, and two guards had to escort her, which was an absolute colossal waste of money. It really is. Now, the thing is, there's people are always trying to dodge a charge. I mean, it's like tax. We get tax defaulters there where there's an amnesty, and next thing, a couple of years after, there's another list of more tax defaulters. So people are always trying to get away with stuff if they can. But the thing is, look, I mean, I have no problem paying it because I believe, like, I mean, they give a good service. Like, I mean, if you go back to the days when we were watching the Waltons, Isabella says, with a black and white television, one channel, you know what I mean? We've moved on from that now.
John. John, can I ask you, you don't have to tell me your age, but would you be an older gentleman?
Yeah, I'd be 50 years, yeah.
And tell me this, when what do you say to the people? Because there's a lot of them texting in who are probably in their 20s and all, say, I don't watch RTE. I don't watch any of those channels. I don't even turn on the television. I watch my stuff on my laptop. Why do you think they should have to pay?
But you see, the problem is then, do we actually get rid of the state broadcaster then? And like, who controls the type of media and the type of news that we get in? Well, I mean, I would trust RTE, like, I mean, that the type of stuff that we do get. But I'll tell you, and I'll finish on this, I think what has done a lot of damage to RTE over the years, when they've tried to increase the fee, killer, is the huge salaries that have been paid out to the presenters. That really annoys people.
Does at that,
the late Jerry Ryan was earning over €1 million, and there's still people like Ray Darcy earning huge money, and that really annoys people.
Well, all right. Look, thank you for getting in touch,
thank
John.
You.
And I suppose the argument for those people is that they bring in ad revenue and all that kind of stuff.
Where else are they going to go? I mean, this is the thing I find hilarious. Oh, no, we need to pay these high salaries to our superstar broadcasters because the private sector might poach them. OK, do we really think TV3 is going to pay 600,000 to... I mean, okay, fine, go. Do you know what? There's probably a brilliant young person who can do your job better.
Let's not just focus on the star salaries, because that's probably in the greater scheme of things, and what RTE spends money on is actually, even though it's individually
big
money.
It'd be great to do a research on what do other public service broadcasters pay their star broadcasters.
Well, I think we already know people like the BBC pay Graham Norton a small fortune.
This is absolutely true, actually.
I think he's worth it. I think he's absolutely amazing. Lots of people getting involved, as I say, on the text line as well. Orty's one of the best public broadcasters in the world. Fact. Well, conjecture, but also, okay. Excellent current affairs, news and sports, despite competition from big private providers who put out some awful tripe. I tell you, the private providers don't have anything like the money. Certainly the national private providers don't have anything like the money of RTE. Someone else says, I'd like to use RTE on the player, but that rarely works. It seems to have been abandoned. Kira, some of those texts are nonsense. If I'm not sick and using hospitals, should I not contribute to the health service? We should all contribute. That's a very good point. Someone says, we only watch Serviu. We love it. RTE are great, RTE Junior and so on. We also have a bike, a football, a hurling, a slither. The licence fee is worth it. I also have RTE Gold on when cleaning the house. The problem is people want things just for themselves. Yeah, and I totally take the point, I think, that you are making about the value of an unbiased, uncommercially fettered.
No ads on RTE Junior. It's fantastic. You can put the kids down, let them watch it.
And they're not getting,
you're not getting bombarded.
The pester power
absolutely
harnessed at all. And I take that. I still think, however, and I do believe this, that how the licence fee goes and how it is used needs to be looked at. I think some of it, and I'm not talking about star salaries, I think some of it is squandered. I don't think we need a commercial music channel.
We have the
Sound
and Vision Fund, which has done some great stuff. 5% of the total fund goes to the BAI, who distributed to independent radio and video documentary makers who submit for funding on radio and TV documentaries.
And the BAI do fund some very good television and programmes and radio
programmes. And that comes from
programs.
The licence fee as well.
And it does. I just think it could be spent a little differently. And I also think this is going to be a key challenge going forward. We're going to have to put some of that license fee into digital platforms, because that is where the next generation of media users are getting their news. And if the whole value of it is around the quality of news delivered, that's where it needs to go.
Yeah, I think we're overdue, sustained announcements from RTE as to their transformation of their online plans. I know work is afoot in there, and there's some fantastic plans down the road. It would be nice to hear more about it in public.
A lot of people give me a lot of stick too about my comment about the two orchestras, saying perhaps we only need one. I'm being schooled in how much work both orchestras do, and perhaps actually we might get somebody on from the orchestra at some point to talk to me and explain to me the error of my ways. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps we need two orchestras. It struck me that it was overkill, but maybe I don't know enough about it, and maybe somebody's going to let me know. Look, my sincere thanks, that is Barry Finnegan there, journalism and media communications lecturer at Griffith College, for some very insightful, and I think maybe you schooled me a little bit too, information on the TV licence. And I think that it is an important topic. I think the quality of news today that is delivered is increasingly important in the kind of world that we currently live in.